I'm going to take questions and answers now. As a suggestion that I've got from others, I'm going to keep the line recorded, but I will at some point switch off the recording. So if you do have a question and you don't want to be heard, then just wait until I prompt. I'm going to switch off the recording. Alternatively, you can also email me at puredaniel613@gmail.com. I'm going to unmute the call now. Okay, so the call is unmuted. Just to remind you, there is a recording still playing, so if you do feel uncomfortable, you don't have to ask. Anyone who has a question or comments or suggestions or experiences, please feel free to share. Is anyone still there?
Daniel?
Daniel, yes, Dr. G.
Hi. Okay, sorry, I got someone who just came on a second. Who was that, the first guy who said Daniel?
Phil.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. So about the making amends part, the one thing that I've always questioned about that, especially because, you know, there's a lot of, difference in opinion maybe in halacha, is when it comes to more of the further back type amends. You know, I'm more comfortable with something that's more in the present time. That was like a year ago or 2 years ago. But when I think back over my lifetime, you know, like in high school or in college where I offended somebody, I feel like if I try to find that person and make amends and I say, I'm sorry I made fun of you in high school, that I'm going across the thing that they talk about in halacha, that me even bringing it up is just causing them more pain because it's making them relive it. And, yeah, it's nice that I'm going ahead and saying I'm sorry, I recognize I'm a jerk, but at the same time, it still allows them to have to relive that pain. Do you disagree? I mean, because I think that's at least how I understand the halacha of asking for forgiveness.
Okay, so first of all, that's a very good question. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm sure a lot of people will have the same question. And the answer is, no, of course I don't disagree, because it says very clearly in the big book, which we just read, that unless to do so would cause harm to others. So if you think, and if you honestly, you have to be very honest with yourself here, if you truly think that by going to this person or these people and making an amends by bringing up the past, if you think that it will cause more harm than good, then I would suggest not to approach them. But what I would suggest is to take out a piece of paper or take out your laptop, and I would write them a letter. I would say, dear, whatever their names are, and I would go into detail about what you did to them and how you wronged them and how you beg for their forgiveness, okay? And you write that letter up, and then you tear it up, and you throw it away. And then you ask God that he should find it in the person's heart to forgive you for what you've done. And that's a suggestion that was given to me. I find it extremely, extremely powerful, because in a sense you're doing the amends, but the other person is not being affected. It's not to be done to someone, it's not a cop-out. In other words, if you're just using it as a cop-out because you're too scared to approach the person, then you know, that's not really the purpose of it. This is only if you really believe that the person will be offended and it will cause more harm. I hope that answers my question. And if not, then if you ask your sponsor for advice as well, I'm sure he's probably had experience as well.
Thank you very much.
Is that okay? Sure. Sorry, I had Yitzhak G. had a question.
Well, first, thank you for the call. As always, especially the very touching part about your cousin. I was very moved by your creative resolution and your courage to talk about and your sensitivity not to tell his father. You know, maybe I in some way drove him to this. Obviously, that would not be what his father needs to hear. But you did what you needed to do in an appropriate way for the way I understand the story.
Thank you. It's hard to hear you, by the way, Yitzhak G. I don't know if you...
All right. Sorry. Shall I repeat anything?
No. I think we heard it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. I have a situation with my father where he doesn't want any communication from me. And I've tried anyway through other people and writing a letter and and so on. But if nothing changes, he'll pass away, and I'll not really have a chance to make an amends at all in any meaningful way. And it's been this way for 12 or 14 years. So I don't know. Do you or anyone on the line have a creative suggestion? Because
First of all, have you tried to make an amends? Have you actually approached him?
Well, he doesn't want me to approach him. He lives 2,000 miles away. I've written him a couple of letters that I sent through other people who knocked on his door and talked to him and said, you know, it's your son. Maybe you're willing to talk to him. He said, no, I'm not. I've asked my sister, who's very close with both of my parents, to try and make an opening for a meeting, and she's trying all she can, and there doesn't seem to be an opening.
Can I ask, by the way, just before I say what I'm going to say, when you wrote those letters, was there any mention at all of his part in it, or any blame, or anything at all, or was it purely just you apologizing and you making an amends, and that's it?
I don't think I have copies. There might have been some hint of justification, like, you know, I was trying, but things were hard or whatever. It might have been a little bit of that. But I don't think I blamed him at all. You know, and there's fault to go around on both their parts, but mm-hmm. all like plenty on mine. You know, I don't need to look at his side at all.
Yeah. I would say it's that if you really feel that in your letter that you wrote to him, you wrote out all the things that you did wrong and you didn't mention him at all, and you purely was writing the letter just to make an amends with him, and that's it, then you've done your part, and that's it. I mean, remember what we said, that God is in control of the outcome. We are not in control of the outcome. You've done your part. You've swept your side of the street.
I didn't put in everything, because some of these things are extremely painful to him, in ways that I speculate that I've hurt his feelings in, you know, the most deeply painful way I could have, without meaning to so much at the time, just because of my own ego needs. But, you know, the most sensitive, ultra-sensitive areas of his life I trampled on without realizing it. And I don't, like the person before me, you know, I'm not sure it's appropriate to bring it up.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, again, if you really honestly feel that you've made the amends, then it's not about him accepting the amends. That's not the purpose of step 9. The purpose of step 9 is to clean your side of the street and to make your amends. It's not about hoping, you know, expectations. It's not about expecting him to come. It may take him a year or two to swallow it and to, you know, it may take time. And in the meantime, I would just pray for him. That's it. That's all you can do. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you for your answer. It wasn't really an answer so much as just needed to be heard and to listen. You know, I don't know if there's really an answer.
Right.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question on the topic?
I'll say one more thing then. This is Yitzhak G again. I did make amends to my sister a number of years ago, maybe 3 or so. And our relationship went from fighting and baiting each other to a very, very good, miraculous turnaround. And unbelievable, because my sister and I have very little in common in many ways besides we're brother and sister. I don't want to go into the details. It doesn't matter. But we find what we have in common, a lot of it we share with each other, and we have this mutual unspoken agreement not to stir each other up like we used to constantly, or at least I used to a lot. And the relationship has transformed tremendously, thank God.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you very much for sharing.
You're welcome.
It's amazing. It's always, it's so important to hear other people's success stories of their step nines. So encouraging. Does anyone else, by the way, is anyone else on the call? I mean, if there's no one else that has any questions, does anyone have any experiences that they'd like to share on their step nine?
I'll share a story. It's Phil again. Hello? Daniel? Hello?
Hi.
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
I think it sounds like we lost Daniel, though.
We can
hear
you, but I don't know
where Daniel is. I'm back on. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't realize you could sing in the background. So my story is as follows. I work out at a gym, and the long story short was that I got into a fight with the guy who's kind of my boss, and we were like screaming at each other, but him more. Thank God at least I didn't like swear at him or anything, but it was really bad. So the next, this is a guy who's really, really difficult to deal with. You know, I could relate to what you're saying about this old woman who's really bitter. This is a guy who's like constantly, from my experience, always thought he, you know, always came across as like he's right and he's best and he never makes anything wrong. And, you know, once again here, he basically offered to offer me advice, and I said, thank you, but I'm kind of busy right now. And he started trying to tell me how to talk to somebody else. And I said, I got upset because he was trying to tell me how to act like a better person. And I'm like, you know, it's enough. You wanted to tell me, I'm getting there. The point of the matter was that I felt that we had a big, you know, there was a lot of wrongs in between us, and I was very upset. I did not want to apologize to this person. I felt that he was in the wrong first. I thought that I had acted appropriately and that he had wronged me. But I was stuck in the situation where, like, every time I was around him, and I was around him constantly because I'm constantly in this area, it was eating me up inside. And similar, I guess, to Daniel, I got to a point where I kind of sat there and realized, well, either I can be like this and I'm not going to be close to Hashem, or I'm going to do something about it. The pain of killing myself by apologizing to this guy who I had zero but zero desire to ever say anything to this guy of an apology was less pain than not feeling close to Hashem. And so I made the decision that I would go ahead and apologize to him. And, you know, I spoke about it during my Shemona Esrei a little bit to Hashem, and then I made a decision, fine, okay, I went and got the guy a bottle of wine, so I guess maybe that's part of the M.O., Daniel, that he gets to always buy a gift for the person who we're really having trouble apologizing to. I figured the same thing. I wanted to grease the wheels a little bit, and so I bought the guy a bottle of wine. And the whole time I'm there, I'm driving, you know, I'm not on my way there. I'm sitting there, you know, praying to Hashem, please, God, please let me swallow my own arrogance and ego. Please let me just, you know, accept it. Help me get my expectations in the ground. Help me expect that he's not going to say sorry. He's not going to be anything, you know, nice to me back. He's going to be his same old, you know, good, you should say you're sorry, tough luck. And I just kept diving, please give me the strength and the courage to do this. And finally I get there and I'm like, you know, same thing. I'm probably a little shaky inside. I'm waiting I realize that he's busy with somebody. He's in the middle of an appointment. And so I get to the point where I realize he's about to finish up and he's going to start with his next appointment. I want to catch him in between. So I walk in there and I'm holding the bag, and I'm about 10 feet from him and I'm just standing there, and he finishes with the person. And I think he must have seen me a little bit, but maybe I guess he puts it together. But the next thing I know, he comes over. This is, by the way, keep in mind, this was after a week of the two of us not having said a word to each other, where every other day we'd at least say, like, hi, how are you, you know, what's going on, and keep walking by. And we had basically ignored each other, giving each other a silent treatment for the last week. Neither of us had said hello to the other person. And he comes over to me, and he goes, Phil, he puts out his hand, he goes, Phil, I just wanted to say I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong, I shouldn't have sworn at you, it was wrong, you know, it was wrong of me, it was bad, but et cetera. And I'm like, no, I want to say I'm sorry, here's what I want. He didn't want to say, I'm like, please take it, I can't drink it anyway, it happened to be an Akosher bottle, he's not Jewish. And you know, we made amends. And I walked out of the room, and I had goosebumps on my arm. I shook. I literally was shaking, like trembling afterwards. I was like, I could not believe it. I was like, the last thing in my mind ever that I ever expected was that he would was that he would actually, you know, be able to at least say sorry. He'd even beat me to the punchline that when he, I guess he saw me waiting and realized I was going to say something. So,
Wow.
I hope that helps anybody. I figured I'd share that.
That's incredible. You know what's crazy about that story is I had exactly the same experience. And I'm telling you, sometimes just by praying, just by davening to make an amends, Hashem makes it happen. It's like insane. I had a guy who was the gubber of my shul that I used to go to. And I used to daven it every morning in Shacharis, and he would sit in front of me. And I never looked him in the eye. For 2 years, I wouldn't shake his hand. I wouldn't look at him. Whatever, it was a business deal that we did together, went wrong, and I had so much resentment towards him, and I felt so, like, what a slime ball, you know? And I was in the middle of doing my amends, and I was davening, and I was during Shemoneh Esrei. I took 3 steps back, and I looked at him, and I thought to myself, I can never make an amends to this guy. I cannot. And I said to Hashem, please give me the willingness to make an amends to this guy. I really don't want to do it, but please help me to do it. And I took 3 steps backwards, and I kid you not, I take 3 steps backwards, bear in mind that for 2 years, we had not exchanged even a handshake or a good Shabbos to each other. Nothing. He walks up to me. By the way, I've never got an aliyah. I also didn't get an aliyah for 2 years, right? He's the governor. He walks up to me as I'm taking my 3 steps back, and he just says, would you like hagba? And my whole insides were just like, what the heck just happened? It was like, seriously? Literally, just that second, I was praying to God for a willingness to make amends to this guy. And Two years, nothing, and suddenly he comes up, suddenly. What is, every single day, I'm telling you, I was davening behind this guy. Why that day? Why? It's incredible. So I went up to the bimah, I did hagba, and then afterwards I went up to him, I shook his hand, I said, thank you so much, and I just want to say, I'm so, so sorry for the, I'm such a stubborn mule that I've not made up with you, and I really feel bad. We used to have a good relationship, and I hope I can do something. What can I do to make it right? And he was the guy that actually said, you know, he said, it will take, you know, time, you know, it will come with time. But that was incredible. It was insane. I don't want to hog the line here, so does anyone have any questions, or does anyone else want to share their 9-step experience if they have? Now, I know that the call is still being recorded, so obviously there are some people who are still uncomfortable, don't want to ask questions. I just want to leave it on just for a few more minutes, but in about 5 minutes, I will be switching off the recording. So if you do have a question and you want to ask it and you don't want to be on the recording, then you can wait 5 minutes and I'll switch off the recording. In the meantime, does anyone have any other questions, or does anyone want to share their experience?
If no one else does, I have one other suggestion for Yitzchak G with his problem with his father.
Yeah, please.
So I'm a big follower of the Garden Books. I don't know if you've heard of those by Rabbi Shalom Arush. So I was privileged to hear him speak recently when he was in the States. And the thing that he's really pushing now to people, especially when it comes to freeing themselves from their tzaros, whatever it is to actually thank him for the tzaros more than anything else, not even to ask for them to go away or whatever, but to thank him for them. The logic behind it is actually relatively simple. It's the fact that even the SA agrees with this, that really God's in control of everything, right? It's his will. And however it goes, whether you see something going good or it's going bad, really God is doing it. And God, you can't have a complaint against God. God does everything perfectly and for the best. And so therefore, anytime you have something that's really bothering your sorrows, the best way to get out of it is not to even ask for help with it, because that sometimes comes across as a complaint, because you're like, oh, you don't want to have anger? Well, maybe I gave you that anger for your best. So why are you complaining? It's better to say, thank you, God, that I have a problem with my anger, instead of saying, God, please take away my anger. So I would say the same thing, is that if he's already worked the ninth step a little bit with his father, and he's not seeing it going anywhere, and he's still got this kind of decree against him that his father is not speaking to him, that he should try thanking God for that, saying, God, thank you for the fact that my father doesn't speak to me. Thank you for the fact that even though I've tried to make amends, you know, he won't speak to me. Thank you for the fact that it causes me sorrows and pain that I don't have a relationship with my father, et cetera, et cetera. And that there's story after story of people doing thank yous that cause great miracles as well.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just need to make absolutely sure I've done everything I can, and I'm not absolutely sure yet.
Well, I have my own stories with thank yous, and Rabbi Arush has tons of stories with thank yous about how when people said thank you, the most amazing difficulties miraculously, improved on themselves or went away completely. So,
well,
okay.
Is that the Garden of Gratitude?
The Garden of Gratitude is the one that's mainly about thanking for your troubles, yeah.
Okay, so that's the book. Okay, brilliant. Now, if anyone has any questions just on the topic before we switch off the recording, I just want to get as many as we can on the recording so that people who do listen to this can hear the questions. So does anyone else have a question at the moment on the topic? Nobody does. I do have a question that was just emailed to me just now, so I'm going to read it out. It says, you said today that we have to do a complete inventory list to get delighted. But on your previous email, you said that complete the worksheet as best as you can, leave perfectionism to God. Very good, very, very good question. Yeah. In other words, what he's asking here is that... on the one hand, we just mentioned today on the call that that if we didn't do the step four properly, if we left anything out of step four and step five, we will not get the step five promises. But on the other hand, I did say last week that we are not supposed to do a step four perfectly because we leave perfectionism to God. The answer is it's not really a steerer. There's no contradiction. There's a difference between doing something properly and not leaving out a specific event and a specific item in the list, and doing something to perfection. In other words, if I'm doing a step five and I'm going through all the character defects and the things that I've done in my past, if I am leaving something out purposefully because I'm too embarrassed and too ashamed to admit it and to share it with someone else, that's not being imperfect. That's leaving out the whole, that is doing the step. And therefore, if I'm leaving out a part of the step, then I haven't done the step, and therefore I'm not going to experience the promises. Perfectionism is when I'm sitting there and I'm going, I've got to write down every single thing perfectly, and I've got to know exactly what, there's a difference. There is a difference between the two. The other thing, second question that this person wrote to me is, how do I do amends to someone I resented but get along with them very well and would have no clue what I want were I to ask parents, wife, and kids? I'm not quite sure what he's asking here. The English is a bit funny. Okay, I'm assuming from this question, I'll ask him, I'll reply to his email, but I'm assuming that he's saying, what if I resented someone in the past, but now I get along with them, and by going and bringing it up may bring up further resentment and further trouble. And the truth is, I think that the question that the first questioner asked is very similar, and I think it would be the same sort of answer would apply. And that is that if you truly think that if you were to bring up something that happened in the past, and that person would feel it would stir up some anger and some issues, then I would suggest not to do it, but just again to write in a letter and then tear up the letter. Again, that's just one suggestion. There are other suggestions, and so I recommend you ask your sponsor or others in the program. So if anyone has any other questions before I hit switch the recording off, does anyone have any more questions or comments? Okay, I'm just going to switch off the record now. I just want to, before I switch off the recording, I just want to thank everyone who has participated in the call today. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.